What's up, all you hoopballers and sports ethosers? I am Keith Cork, and you are listening to the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast for Sunday. And I'm here again with Mr. Pat Valenti, who has gone ahead and joined us, which I'm excited about because he has been killing it. We actually had some really good calls from that last podcast, Pat. And how'd you end up doing, man? Did you end up winning a little bit of money at least on Saturday?
Yeah, Keith, I ended up ahead for the day. Ended up in the green. Ended up hitting on a single entry that I did for the main slate here. I had an early entry out there, single entry. It didn't come through for me. Chris Dunn ended up screwing me on that, but ended up getting ahead on the main slate there today, and had a pretty good day. Like you said, had some pretty good calls from last night, and they actually come through for us. So I'm anxious to get into the slate for tomorrow and see what you think.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think we're gonna get some uncover some really good stuff here. I'm really excited about it. If you guys don't already follow us at EthosDFS is the Twitter handle. Go follow us there. That's where we drop all of our shows. Please join our free Discord. If you go to that Ethos DFS Twitter, you'll see the Discord link right there. It's pinned at the top of the page. You can go ahead and join via that link. We are talking stuff in there, talking hoops all the time. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited, man. It's a little bit of a split slate here. We got an early 3-game slate and a later 5-game slate. I would say I'm interested in both, honestly. I like them both. I was just looking at my DraftKings like previous contests, and man, I've been on fire for the last like 3 or 4 days. So that's really great. We're building some bankroll here. I like it. I love it. We're hitting all the right notes. But let's go ahead and jump into this early slate here, which starts with Philadelphia at Dallas. And I can't say I'm hugely interested in this one. We do have a 8-point spread in favor of the Mavericks. I caught that at 7.5 before it shifted, it looks like. So that's good. I got a little bit of CLV there. 237.5 is the game total there. But talk to me, Pat. Who do you like anybody in this game? Are you liking this game? Are you digging it?
Well, Keith, I'm going to be honest with you again. Not super groundbreaking analysis here, but I think Luke is viable at 12.1K on DraftKings pricing.
Sure.
I mean, he's just a smash every night, especially on this early slate. Like I said, on these 2-game slates, turbo type slates, I don't mind fading studs a lot of the time. Honestly, that's kind of my approach. But with Luka here in this spot, it's got a decent total. I think he's totally viable here if you can find some value elsewhere and craft your lineup that way. And I really like pairing him maybe with some PJ Washington. I think he's viable as well. And on the run back there, I think Buddy Hield at 6.1K is going to be in play tomorrow. He hasn't been as hot recently. He's cooled down from his first few games as a sixer. But I think he's somewhat due. I think he could be somewhat lower owned, and I like him as a play. And Paul Reed as well on the Sixers side. He's 5.3K on DraftKings. He didn't start last game, I don't believe. That could deter a little bit of his ownership as well, which I actually kind of like. And he's flashed his upside throughout his career as well. We if you're familiar with fantasy, he can smash. I'm not saying that those role type guys are absolute must plays, but I do kind of like them. If you're playing that early type slate, I kind of like them as viable options.
Yeah, I don't mind those guys. I think for me, there's only one guy that's really kind of a lock for me, and that's Derek Lively, the second at 4,300. You didn't mention him, but for me, Gafford saw, I think, 7 minutes in the last game, so that's something I'm definitely keeping an eye on. I don't know if that's going to be the split again here. If it is, obviously, then that's a smash spot for him. But even if he ends up splitting the minutes right down the middle with Gafford, which is actually, it wouldn't be right down the middle because they're actually splitting it also with Maxi Kleba for whatever reason. I don't really understand that because they traded a first round pick for Gafford and they're just going to sit him on the bench, I guess, and play Kleba, who they already had on their roster. So,
Yeah, it's crazy, man. That's a three-headed monster there for sure.
way to go, Mavericks. But I'm feeling some Derek Lively. I like the risky plays. I like some Derek Lively here. I think,
Oh, he has massive upside.
yeah, he's got the upside with the defensive stats, with the blocks, obviously, the rebounds, the points. He's just got really active. He scored 20 plus DK points in 3 straight games, even with that timeshare going on there. So, if an injury happens in game or if Gafford only gets 7 minutes again, we could see him go absolutely buck wild here. And across the way, like you said, we got Paul Reed and probably some Mo Bamba. They've been doing a little bit of a split themselves on that side as well. And neither of those guys are really, formidable defenders or anything like that. So that's why I like Lively here a whole heck of a lot. But you mentioned Doncic, and yeah, I did definitely end up with him in my dummy lineup here just because I have so many low price guys that I've been able to fit in here. And I'll talk a little bit later on in that Clippers game we're going to get to about what I did to fit him in. But I do like him here. I think it's a very decent spot. I think the Sixers will keep this close enough that we're going to get full Doncic minutes. And if we're going to get full Doncic minutes, he's always in play. So there's no
Surely.
problem there.
Yeah, and ever since Embiid's gone down, the Sixers have really been giving it up defensively. They haven't been able to stop anybody. So that's just another reason to kind of have a little bit of interest in Luka and some of the role guys there too.
One other guy I'm going to mention on the Philadelphia side here that I don't believe you mentioned, Pat, is Nicholas Batum at 3,700. I do have him here. Kelly Oubre is questionable. If he ends up sitting, obviously, this is a much better play than it is now. KJ Martin also questionable. So if both those guys are out, we should see plenty of Batum here. Batum is not necessarily a huge ceiling guy, but I feel like he's a pretty safe floor guy in general. He does have some dunks here and
Absolutely.
there, but
But especially at that price.
3,700 is pretty cheap, so I don't mind going a little dumpster dive in there for Mr. Nicholas Batum. Let's move on to the Golden State Warriors at the Boston Celtics, which for real life basketball is a lot more entertaining. I'm looking forward to this game a lot more. What sticks out to you here, Pat?
Well, we got B pods there. Pajemski's a game time decision as well as Steph. So we're gonna have to keep an eye out for that. This is an early look, obviously, so just preface it by that. But this being a game that's going to be nationally televised at 3:30, I'd like to believe that both of those guys probably be active. I don't want to assume, but I'd like to think that those guys play. Andrew Wiggins has already been ruled out, if I'm not mistaken, when I did my research that was the case earlier. Kind of looking at it here, I really like Gary Payton Jr. here, GP3 at 3.4K. I'm going to start off with a lower price guy. If you're going to be playing Luka, trying to jam him into a lineup, you're going to need some pay down options. And with Wiggins out, I foresee him getting a lot more run, and he's a high energy guy off the bench. If he gets the minutes, he can really fill it up with some peripheral stats, steals, blocks, rebounds, and he hits a couple shots. He can really smash that value at that price tag. And I also really like Draymond Green here. With the Celtics, if Porzingis ends up playing, he's also a game time decision. But they're going to run out Porzingis and Horford, and they recently acquired Xavier Tillman. They have some big bodies that they can throw out there. Golden State's a little bit undersized. They have some bigger bodies that they can throw out there, but I think Draymond would see himself on the floor for a pretty hefty workload in this matchup, and I think he could really fill it up if given the opportunity, especially if Porzingis plays, like I said. So I really like those two plays there, and also from the Celtic side, I kind of like Derek White at 6.6K. I think Tatum and Brown could garner some big time ownership, especially on a two game slate like this. If I'm trying to diversify myself, I think he could be a little bit underowned and really hit his ceiling here in this matchup with the Warriors. And kind of another punt type play for the Celtics. And this is kind of also if Porzingis does end up being ruled out. If Porzingis plays, I still think he could be a decent punt type play, but he becomes far less attractive for me if Porzingis does play. But Cole Hauser at 3.3K in this matchup with the Warriors, I could see the Warriors going a little bit smaller and the Celtics trying to match that a little bit. And I could see him getting some minutes trying to stretch the floor as a kind of a maybe a small ball five or a stretch four. And if he gets hot from three, he could smash that 3.3K price tag on DraftKings. So those are some guys on the surface that I'm interested in off the bat in this game here.
And I believe you said Cole Hauser, but you meant Sam Hauser. But yeah, I think that's a good
So, I'm
call
sorry.
there.
I'm
No,
sorry.
it's
Yes.
okay. It's okay. I knew who you meant. I just wanted to clarify for the listeners. But yeah, it's
Surely.
Sam Hauser there. Yeah, that's perfect. I like those calls for sure. For me, I mean, you mentioned Gary Payton, which I think is an interesting pivot off of the guy I'm going with, which I'm going with Moses Moody. Obviously, it feels a little bit like chasing because he had a big game in the last one. So I hate to be that guy, but. People always kind of fade people at this point where it's like, oh, I don't want to chase a good game anymore. So it's almost like contrarian to go with the guy that just had a good game.
Absolutely. No,
Kind
I
of
totally
funny.
agree.
So
I
it's
totally
kind of
agree.
funny, but yeah, without Wiggins, he's been starting. Played 32 minutes in the last one. If there's no Pajemski, obviously we got a safer floor there for him. I don't think he's gonna reach the ceiling again. He got 33.75 DK points in the last one. I would say that's pretty much a ceiling game there. So I wouldn't say the ceiling would be absolutely massive here, but the price increase over last time is pretty modest. I mean, only 4,100 now. I believe he was like 3,900 or so in the last one, 3,800 somewhere around there. So Very, very modest price increase here. I'm totally still interested in there. You mentioned one guy also. You know what stuck out to me here, Pat, is Jaylen Brown at 7,600. I just feel like that's priced down. I just feel like
Absolutely. Buy the dip.
I have to get him. Yeah, I have to get him at the. Yeah, it's a buy the dip. Exactly. He's dipped a little bit there. I'm trying to see what his price tag was last one, but yeah, that just seems too cheap to me. So I went ahead and stuck
I
with him.
agree. Surely.
He was 7,700 in the last one, looks like. So not much of a price dip from there, but he was 8,300, 8,500 just a few weeks ago. So, again,
I like that a lot, Keith.
buying the dip there. So, and then you mentioned the other guy here that I've got my lineup right now, which I'm really high on him. And if Porzingis sits, if Porzingis doesn't sit, obviously, I'll have to get him out of my lineup. But Al Horford at 5,100, you mentioned the Warriors being, undersized. So, if there's no Porzingis, we'll have full Horford out there. And I love Horford in this matchup. I think, he's a big that he has guard skills, right? He's a big that has guard skills. So he doesn't necessarily have to like go post people up or anything like that. So,
Absolutely. He can stretch the floor a little bit too.
yeah. So I like him here in this matchup here where it's going to be kind of a run and gun atmosphere. He'll get some trailer, threes off for us. And if he hits those, we're really cooking with gas. So 5,100 is his price tag. So those are the guys I'm really eyeing here. But I like your calls as well. You mentioned that the Warriors have been struggling with the big bodies, but Kuminga's been that guy that's kind of stuffed them up with that. So I'm not going with him here, but he is an interesting guy as well, I think, to look at
Absolutely.
in this matchup here. So all right, let's move on to the last game here. I've got interest in all these games. I think the later one is where I kind of have a few games I just don't really care about, so we'll go a little faster there. But in this one, it's the Clippers against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I am interested in this one for sure. Mainly because, Russell Westbrook, he broke his hand. So obviously that opens up some usage for some people. He's not going to play in this one. We already have that confirmed. It's a 1.5 point spread in favor of the Clippers. So it's a close, spread's going to be a close game, hopefully. 219.5 is the game total. Not the best game total in the world, but again, we've got people out. So that's going to create some opportunities for other people. So, and this is what I was talking about earlier, where I'm kind of between two guys. I'm curious to hear your thoughts here. Are you more of a Norm Powell guy or more of a Terrence Mann guy? Which guy do you think is going to step up more with Russell Westbrook on the sidelines?
It's funny you ask that, Keith. Generally, to answer that question, I'd say I'm a Norm Powell guy. I tend to gravitate towards him in certain builds and certain lineups. Like I said, I'm a tournament guy, GPP guy. Norm Powell's a microwave guy off the bench. If you can get him at low ownership, he can really get you leverage on the field on certain slates. But for this certain slate, particular slate, I actually have Terrence Mann down here in my game notes. I kind of like him in this spot. 4.7K price tag. I think Powell might gain some popular ownership. I think he might be a little bit more owned than Mann. I don't know. That's a little bit up in the air, but I think you might be able to get a little bit of leverage with Mann at 4.7K. I think he's going to get played for sure, don't get me wrong. But I kind of like him a little bit more in this matchup. Minnesota's a pretty good team defensively, grinded out. I think he kind of matches up well in this matchup with the personnel that they trot out there for Minnesota. And I'm leaning Mann myself in this matchup. So it's funny you asked that question, but I have Mann down here in my notes.
Well, that's interesting. I was actually the opposite way because I think you're right that we don't really know for certain what the ownership's going to look like. I think, any even, sites that are really good at projecting that stuff, I think they're going to tell you for certain that they know which one's going
It's
to be more
tough to get
owned.
ownership.
Yeah,
It's tough to get ownership projected.
it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to project that. So I actually went with Norm Powell originally, but I had to swap him out in order to fit my guy Luka Doncic in. So that's why I end up with Mann in my lineup. But
That's another reason as well, Keith, that I had Mann down because we're going to need a little bit of salary relief. Because, like I said, I do like Luka on this slate and gonna have to pay down in a couple spots here. So that's one of the big reasons I also leaned Mann in that scenario.
I think they have similar, actually similar ceilings, if I'm being honest with you guys. But I think the floor is a little safer with Mann also, just because he produces other stats besides just points. If Norm Powell's shot's not falling, the bottom could absolutely drop out. So that's one thing that kind of scares me a little bit about Norm Powell. But I think he does. I would say maybe a slightly higher ceiling with that scoring potential because he can absolutely fill it up. So,
Absolutely.
which we've seen that from Mann this season, but that's not really his MO necessarily. So. I will say there's another guy here that I'm really digging in this matchup as well, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts about this one or whoever else you like on this in this game here. But Karl-Anthony Towns at 8,200. The Clippers. So Ivica Zubac is questionable for this one with an illness just popped up. Usually when that happens, it's not a good sign. So if he does end up sitting, they're going to be really small. They've been playing obviously. Mason Plumlee and Daniel Tice out there, which are, they're fine backups. They're okay. But if you're asking one of them to go out there and guard a guy that can step out to the 3-point line and shoot, that's not
Oh, that's
really,
lunch for Cat. Yep.
that's really not going to
That's a
go very
bad.
well.
Yep.
So that's what I'm looking at here. Obviously, if Zubac is, ultimately ruled in, I'll probably pivot off of Towns. But I'm making the assumption right now that he's going to be out. So that's why I think Towns is absolutely going to eat in this matchup here. So any other observations you have for this Clippers and Minnesota Timberwolves game?
Well, I'm lockstep with you there on that analysis as far as the Zubac situation. Zubac, we got to keep an eye on that. Like you said, if he sits, I think Cat almost becomes a must play. So that's definitely some news we're going to want to keep an eye on. But as far as some other guys in this matchup that I have down here that I do like, Mike Conley at 5.6K. He's really carved out a role for this Timberwolves team since coming over this season. He's really done well for them. 5.6K, it's kind of that mid-price range. He's shown a ceiling a few times this year. I think he's not an absolute. I don't think he'll go nuclear on a slate like this. But if Edwards ends up not playing, I know he's a game time decision. The last time that I looked, I think he really becomes much more attractive. But even if Edwards plays, I do kind of like Conley still. And another play I have down here is Paul George at 7.9K. We all know what he brings to the table, obviously, but at 7.9K, I think that's a
It's
pretty
cheap.
decent price. It's a pretty nice price for him, honestly. And if you can find a build where maybe you get maybe Luka and Paul George in there, maybe some value guys, I kind of really like the idea of a build like that. So that's kind of why I was leaning towards PG-13 there.
And when you look at this slate, I think a lot of people are going to go, oh, they're playing the Timberwolves, who are one of the perhaps the best defense in the league. So it might steer some people off of Paul George, but that's just
Oh
stupid
yeah.
because these guys are, some of these guys are matchup proof, and that would be Paul George for sure. So
Minnesota has a lot of red numbers on DraftKings, next to their matchups there. And believe it or not, that steers people away a lot of the time, whether it should or not. But that's something I always kind of like to throw into consideration a little bit when making my builds too.
Absolutely, man. And a good call on the Anthony Edwards. He just had his kid born, so congratulations, Mr. Anthony Edwards.
Sure.
He
Yep.
went to go, he actually left the last game to go do that. Now he's listed as questionable with the ankle injury, I believe it is. But I
He's
believe it
been
has
playing
more to
through that.
yeah I believe it
Yeah.
has more to do with his kid being born, so we'll see. Maybe he wants to spend a little
As
bit
do
more
I.
time with the baby. So yeah, exactly. So okay, so let's go on and move on though to the main slate. And if you guys, again, go to sportsethos.com, sign up for the DFS pass, $5 a month. I'm just going to shoot right through that because we're going to move along here. The Charlotte Hornets at the Toronto Raptors is what starts us off here. And I do have interest in this game, so we're going to have to cover it. 8-point spread in favor of the Raptors, 225.5 is the game total. And I'm just going to throw this guy out here off the bat because I'm super excited about rostering him again. And that's, gosh, I'm going to screw up his name, Vasilij Micic. I hope I said that right. Vasilij
It's a
Micic.
tough one. It's a tough one.
I do like him a whole heck of a lot here on the Hornets because we are not going to have any Cody Martin. We're not going to have any Seth Curry. So there are going to be some minutes available at that wing position for Micic. And he's been playing very well since he joined the Hornets and does have some really high upside here. So
He does.
any thoughts on him or any of the other Charlotte Hornets?
No, I like Micic there. I've used him a couple times, since him kind of coming onto the scene there for Charlotte. And sometimes it's worked, sometimes it hasn't. You'll have that with any player, but at his price, I like the ceiling that he provides there for sure. A couple of the plays that I have down for the Hornets myself are Grant Williams at 4.6K. In this matchup with Toronto, just with the personnel that I foresee the Raptors rolling out there, I think he's going to match up really well. With what they put out there. And at 4.6K, he's been playing pretty well and getting a lot more runs since coming over to the Hornets. So I think he's certainly a viable option here on this main slate. And I also have Miles Bridges at 8.2K. It's a bit of a pay up on this slate. I'm not saying that he's a jam, but I do kind of like him, kind of the same thing. You're going to see a lot of 3-and-D wings and bigger type versatile forwards in this matchup. Toronto rolls a lot of those guys out there. And I think he matches up well with that personnel package. And he's having a really good year, Bridges. He's kind of a looked stud in this league, in my opinion. But those are two guys that I have for the Hornets down myself. And
Yeah.
For the Raptors side, well, sorry, I'll let you go. Keep
No, I was
going
going to
on
say he's a
that.
polarizing guy, Bridges is, because of,
Yeah,
all the off-court stuff, of
absolutely.
course. So,
Yep.
that might be a reason. And that was, I actually used that last year to win some slates because people just hate Russell Westbrook. So, being
Yep.
able to roster a guy like a Russell Westbrook or Miles Bridges, that people are just getting in their feelings about. I think that's good, one good way. But actually, Brandon
Sure.
Miller was as my guy circled as the spend up here on the Hornets, which I didn't end up with him in my dummy lineup here, but I'm gonna try to fit him in. But there's some other guys I'm a little bit more excited about. So he was actually the guy I was looking at there. But I like your Bridges call. But go ahead, you're gonna talk about the Raptors.
Yeah, I was just going to swing over to the Raptors side there. A couple guys, with Barnes out here, it looks like he's going to be out for perhaps maybe the rest of the year. That's not confirmed, but it's not looking good for his outlook the rest of the year. A couple guys that I do like are and they might gain a little bit of ownership, obviously, with Barnes being out, but Bruce Brown at 4.7K, I think you really have to look at him on the main slate here, especially depending on what type of build you're looking for, if you're going to have some pay up options. But 4.7K, he's shown the ability throughout his career when he gets some looks offensively and a little bit more usage rate. Hit with his defensive prowess and rebounding skills and peripheral stats, he can smash that 4.7K price tag on DraftKings. And Grady Dick at 4.4K, a little bit different type player. He's a longer type wing. He's not a lockdown defensive guy, but I don't think he's a total zero defensively. But he's a big time shooter. He can stroke the ball, and if he gets hot in this matchup, he can certainly pay off that 4.4K price tag. And there's going to be more usage to go around in that Raptors team. And I think they're worth taking some stabs at on this main slate.
Yeah, the Raptors are interesting because it's you think it's time to switch to tank mode for them, but being the Raptors and being in a small market, they actually have to maintain their competitiveness just to
Yep.
put butts in their seats. So,
Seems like they're always playing hard, and they
they
always
always
play
play
a
hard, yeah. So I don't think
competitive
we need to, yeah. So I don't think we need to fade these guys because it's like, oh, it's tank mode now. They're gonna play Ochai Agbaji 45 minutes. I don't think that's
Sure.
gonna happen necessarily. But I got two guys on this side for the Raptors. I'm really excited about. These are locks for me actually. Kelly Olynyk, the lunch lady. Go ahead, Dan
Yep.
Bespris, laugh your butt off because
That's Dan's guy.
that's Dan's guy. I got to go ahead and rock with him though. I think he is going to come in and play a key offensive role without Scottie Barnes because he does have the ability to, make plays and play make for them, which is going to be something that's desperately needed on this Raptors squad. And then the other
Yep.
guys, Jakob Poeltl, 6,500. Hey, look, centers against the Charlotte Hornets. We've been pounding away at this for the last, what, 3, 4 years.
Oh yeah.
This is a key spot for him right here. I think people are going to be sleeping on him because he's not an exciting guy. He really isn't. The way he
No, he's
scores and
not.
plays is really,
Yep.
really quite boring. But
He
still,
produces, man.
yeah, he does. He goes out there and he puts up stats. So I'm going big against the Charlotte Hornets team, and I'm rocking with both of those guys there. But let's go ahead and move on though to the Detroit and Orlando game. Honestly, this is a game I probably can skip. I do have a couple guys I do like here, but are there any guys that kind of get your goat here in the Detroit Orlando game?
Kind of with you here, Keith, as far as not really being in love with this game,
Okay.
honestly. There's not a lot of value here. If you're into a pay up option, maybe on this slate is maybe as a one off too, not even running it back with anything. I don't mind Paolo Banchero. I know the last time out against Detroit, he kind of put up somewhat of a dud. He did end up hitting the game winner. He didn't shoot well that game, but he got a ton of great looks. The shot just wasn't falling for him, but I still kind of like him in that matchup against this Detroit team. So if you're maybe interested in a one-off pay-up option, I don't mind Banchero at 8.6K, depending on what the rest of your build looks like. But really, that's about it, man. I mean, I have some other names down here, but this is kind of an avoid for me.
Yeah, I think we can just kind of hit this real quick because I only have a couple guys also. I like Franz Wagner myself, 7,700. He's a little cheaper, but same reasoning. I think you go with one of the top two guys. I think that's totally fine in this slate. I think for you with Mancaro, you'll get the ownership edge for sure because people will go with Wagner, sorry, more so than they will with Banchero. But the other guy I want to point out here that's a little bit more under the radar is a bit of a spend down option, cheaper option. Cole Anthony at 4,800. Not a guy that necessarily has a solid role on this Orlando Magic team, but the Detroit Pistons do have issues guarding the guard spot, and he is a guy that can absolutely score from the guard spot as well. Just one of those kind of, the guys that we like, right? The guards that are scoring guards that can go off for big.
Sure.
team. So he's a
Especially if
guy
you're
that,
trying to take down a tournament or a single entry or something. Those are the type of guys that you got to look for.
so GPP only. I would not rock with him in a cash game. Absolutely not. So, all right. Indiana Pacers at San Antonio Spurs. This is a doozy. This is a good one. I like this one a whole heck of a lot, of course. So let's talk about this one here. Tyrese Halliburton. I usually don't play this guy, but here I just there's no way I can. I'm trying to find a way to get him in my lineup because there's another guy that's a spin up that I need to get in my lineup also. But talk to me about Indiana. Who do you like there on Indiana?
No, I'm with you there, Keith, on Hallie. Like I said, whenever you suggest a stud like that, it's obviously not a big time
No.
analysis, but it's a great spot, man. He's an absolute stud. He put up a dud last game. That could be a little bit of ownership deterrent there. I love him at 9.2K. I think he's due, honestly. He's kind of been slumping for his standards here recently. I think he's due for a breakout. And this is I do believe it's the highest total on the main slate here. And I just think it's a great spot for him, and I think we might get a little bit of deterred ownership as well with that dud he put up. So I do like the Hallie call there as a pay up, depending on what you like his other pay up options on this slate, obviously. But he's definitely viable as a pay up for sure. And another guy that I like back on the well, actually, we'll stick with the Pacer side here. A little bit more of a punt type play, but Jalen Smith at 3.9K. I think he's an interesting play here for a tournament or a single entry. Especially if you're making multiple lineups. I think with the Wembanyama matchup, there's a chance Turner maybe gets in foul trouble, or maybe he just gets run off the court in this matchup a little bit. I know he can stretch the floor and defend a little bit, but I think Jalen Smith might be a little bit better of a matchup against Wemby myself. And I think he can find himself some more minutes with this up tempo and high scoring game. I think I like him at 3.9K to show the ceiling that he's hit before throughout his career. Injuries has kind of drug him down. He's an ex lottery pick, but I like him as an option at 3.9K as a spend down. And on the Spurs side, I think I'm going to be fading Wembanyama. Scary to do. I mean, this kid's a stud. He puts up every night, but I just don't think he's in my plans for my type of construction on this slate. But a guy that I like for the Spurs is a Keldon Johnson at 5.2K. I think Victor Wembanyama and Devin Vassell are going to garner a lot of ownership in this popular game. And I think he's a really sneaky pivot to get in there. And the last couple of years, he's been the Spurs' main scorer. Vassell and Wembanyama have kind of taken that over for him, since they've kind of broke out as potential stars in this league. But I think he's a sneaky pivot type play that could smash his 5.2K price tag on DraftKings and really be a sneaky leverage type play on this slate.
Keldon Johnson, the guy I perhaps have crapped on maybe even more than Alperen Şengün, which is a little bit surprising for me because I crap on Alperen Şengün all the time. But it's true. I just don't think he's a good real life basketball player, honestly. But for fantasy, I think he's a fantastic player. And I'm all over him here. I think he's a lock for me also. Keldon Johnson, 5,200. I think, gosh, you know what? I know Popovich is going to start Jetty Osman or something stupid like that because he wants Keldon Johnson to he stay off the bench. But it doesn't matter whether you're starting or not. Don't let that fool you guys out there. Whether a player is starting or isn't starting, their usage generally doesn't change. It just depends on what their role is. And in his role, like you said, he's basically been the sixth man for this for the squad. Which has been kind of interesting to see. He's been pretty good in that role also, but really the ability to score big points and grab some boards. So double doubles definitely on the table here. He could score upwards of 20 points or more. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. Again, this is against the Pacers also, which is of course a paced up matchup because the Pacers are
Sure.
second in the league in pace here. So yeah, I like that call a whole heck of a lot. And I'm with you on Wembanyama also. I don't think I'm gonna end up playing him. There's at least two other spend ups that are around that same price point that I'm just more excited, honestly. So
I'm with you there.
there you go. Okay, well let's move on here to the Knicks and the Cavs. And honestly, this is probably a skip for me too. I don't really have a whole heck of a lot. I don't think I actually end up with anybody in this game in my lineup right now. But talk me out of it. Is there somebody here I'm overlooking?
It's an ugly game. You're right there, Keith. I'm probably not gonna have a lot of action in on this game myself. I do think it's gonna be a close game though. I think it stays close throughout. I think the starters are gonna see some pretty good minutes.
Can I just tell you, it's
LeVert,
two. Can I just, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but 212.5 is the game total
yeah,
for this game.
that's ugly.
It's by
That's
far the
ugly for
lowest
sure.
on the slate. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's very pertinent information. Cleveland's favored by 5. LeVert and Mitchell are game time decisions, so that could potentially open up some salary relief on the Cleveland side if you want to keep an eye on that information throughout the day. But I have a couple names down here, but really the only play that I could see maybe as a one-off here for myself that I kind of like is Precious Achiuwa at 6.7K. Not really a sexy play, don't get me wrong. His price has come down a little bit from what it has been in the past few games. I think Tibbs is still really likes rolling him out there in a high minute role. And with the Cavs rolling two bigs out there a lot of the time and Mobley and Jared Allen, I think he's going to see a lot of court time as far as matchup goes. And if he can stay out of foul trouble, he's had a last game I know for sure he had a dud. I think he's going to be low owned, obviously, for sure. And I just think it might be a sneaky ownership leverage type play. I think he can maybe, have that ceiling type performance that he's shown here in the past few games since becoming a Nick.
The only thoughts I have on this game are I wonder when we're going to see Isaiah Hartenstein like actually play again, because if he does, then he's going to crush his 5,800 price tag even in a game like this, because he doesn't really need to score. He needs to grab rebounds and get, steals to really hit his value for us. So it's always a possibility. I'm not confident about that, so I'm not playing him, but it would be something that, in a large field GPP you should definitely consider. The other thing is on the Cleveland side, like you said, Donovan Mitchell, if he's out, let's just name the guys: Max Strus, Darius Garland, Sam Merrill. 3,500 would be a fantastic play, I think. And then obviously, Craig Porter, excuse me, Craig Porter Jr. at 3,000, if you want to get really, really, really kind of leveraged on the ownership side. Also,
And
those are.
I had Hartenstein down here in my notes too, Keith. Like I said, with this matchup with the Cavaliers, in this low total, I think we might be in a little bit of a defensive slug match. I think we could see some big on big lineups here. And Hartenstein is attractive, if you're making a couple lineups here and some tournaments at 5.8K. I had him in my notes here, but he's not a must roster guy. He's not a jam. Don't get me mistaken. But I had him down here in my notes.
Yeah, maybe we get a one lineup out there out of like 10 or something like that, and we throw him in there just to see what happens, so, something like that. So, okay, OKC Thunder at Phoenix Suns is going to round us out here. It's a 4-point favorite for the Thunder, which I think is ridiculous. They should be much heavier favorites than that, if you ask me.
You got it at 4 points, you said?
Yeah, it's at 4 points. Yeah, on
See, I
DraftKings.
looked earlier this evening when I was doing my research, and it was actually a -2,
Yeah,
in favor of OKC.
it's been
So,
sliding very heavily towards OKC.
okay.
So a couple reasons that I'm really into that spread. Obviously, it's a back-to-back for the Suns, so, and they're a somewhat older team. I mean, Kevin Durant's definitely older, but we'll talk about him in a minute here. And then also tonight, as I'm covering the news feed, if you guys don't follow that, go follow it, sportsethos.com, find our blurb feed. We had Yusuf Nurkic exit the game with neck spasms, and we also had Devin Booker exit the game with a right ankle sprain,
Right
which
at the
looked
end of the
really
game there.
Which looked really bad. So, this is going to probably slide pretty heavily towards the Thunder. I think the Thunder are going to win this pretty handily. But, given that those guys are going to be out, I got to be all over Kevin Durant. And that's the reason I don't have any Tyrese Halliburton here. Again, I think he's an older guy. It's a back-to-back. That scares me a little bit somewhat. But we saw what he did with the Brooklyn Nets when, both of his stars kind of just dipped on him and he was the only guy left over. He just absolutely crushed it and was a must roster during that whole time in DFS. So 9,700 for Kevin Durant. I'm locking him in, man. I'm going to get him in there. I'll probably do another lineup too with Tyrese Halliburton just to see if I can do a little AB type deal there. But anyone else on the Suns that kind of interest you here, given that? Oh, I'm going to mention one more. Sorry, before you go, one more other guy that I think I really have to get in my lineups here, nearly a lock for me also, is Grayson Allen at 5,900. Because again, no Devin Booker. All that usage is going to go to Grayson Allen. It's going to go to Eric Gordon if he plays. It's going to go to Bradley Beal. It's going to go to Royce O'Neal. But given that Grayson Allen just had an 0 for 7 night, but what he's done all season, just given people are going to look at that as opposed to what he's done all season, I think we're going to get some ownership leverage there too. So.
No, I really like those two calls there for the Suns, Keith. And the thing is with the Suns here, they're for the most part, their lineup is super concentrated for the most part. They stick with the starting five and a couple other guys off the bench, but for the most part, it's very concentrated. But obviously with Booker, probably not playing tomorrow from what it looks like, obviously from the injuries they had there. KD is a pay up I really like there. I had him too as probably one of my pay up options on tomorrow's slate as well. A little bit of a revenge narrative there with the OKC Thunder X team there. You don't always want to bank on that, but excuse me, it plays into these guys factors for sure in the mental game, whether people like to realize it or not, it's true. But another guy that I like here, it's actually a bit of a punt play here for the Thunder, but it's Bismack Biyombo at 3K. Jalen Williams is out tomorrow. The last I did in my research, we're going to want to keep an eye on that. But he's the backup center here for the Thunder. Chet Williams is a starter, obviously. But I think Biyombo, he was recently acquired here by the Thunder. I think he's going to see some minutes tomorrow in this matchup to back up Chet Holmgren when he needs a breather, or if maybe even get some foul trouble. I think he's going to see some PT tomorrow, especially with Williams being out. They don't really have many bigs on that roster, you know, behind Chet. And like I said, this is a punt option. This isn't a jam, but I think it's a sneaky type play to get some salary relief on this slate to get yourself to some pay up studs. And I really like kind of Biyombo if you're into the punt type plays on this slate here. And obviously, if you can find the salary, I think SGA is a decent play. Honestly, he goes off every night as a pay up. Like I said, he's in the MVP race here. They are favored in this game. With the studs going out and Booker going down, you know, that kind of takes a little flash off this game. But SGA, man, he this guy's a superstar. You gotta consider him at least, depending on what type of build you're rolling out there for as a pay up.
And one counterpoint there to the Bismack Biyombo play. I think it's a nice one if Nurkic plays. That's what I'll say. If Nurkic does not play, I think they probably slide Kevin Durant to center a lot. What we saw in this game tonight was they actually end up playing Thaddeus Young a few minutes at the center position, which was kind of crazy. But they like to go small because they don't have any confidence in Drew Eubanks. So, you know, I went out and actually snagged him in a roto league, and I really regretted it as soon as I did it because I dropped Naz Reid, which was really probably a bad call on my part. But they're probably going to go smaller anyways on the smaller side. The Suns will if there's no Nurkic. But if Nurkic does play, I do think you're right that Biyombo probably gets in for maybe 10, 15 minutes. And like I said, it's a punt play. But he does have a pretty high per minute production. So I don't mind that. So,
Like I said, that's strictly a punt salary relief type play. You know, maybe if you're making a couple lineups, tournaments. Like I said, that's generally what I'm playing anyways. That's kind of why, you know, you'll hear me mention guys like that often for sure.
And then one other thing here just to mention with this game, and we're going to wrap it up. Royce O'Neale also hurt his ankle. We're not sure if he's going to play this one or not. So that would also help the other guards, of course, in Phoenix if he does not play. But we're just not sure what the situation is there. So you'll have to get that DFS pass for $5 at sportsethos.com to keep on top of it. And we'll fill you in. We'll really be releasing the DFS delivery here actually pretty shortly. But we'll go ahead and keep you guys updated through our Discord as well. So I am Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at ethoskeith, at ethoskeith. And where can people find you and your work, my friend?
You can find me on X at Stat Patter. That's a capital S and a capital P, and the Patter has two T's. That's really the only socials that I use, and been a lot more active on that recently. And find some college hoops talk, some basketball talk in general, NFL. So go ahead and over there and get some free tidbits here and a little bit of laughs here and there too.
There you go. And March Madness right around the corner, so that's pretty exciting as well. So everybody,
Absolutely.
it's basketball heaven pretty soon. So I'm excited, man.
Me
Everyone
too.
have a great day, and until next time, everybody, hey, go get that money.